We're continuing the Rambam's son, Rabbi Avram Anagid, Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, his letter about, he spoke about science and our sages, and now he's telling us the different types of midrashim. He said there's the first type of midrash, which should be understood literally. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, a person shouldn't be laugh without control, because the world isn't perfect yet. Then we have the midrashim that have the external meaning and the internal meaning. Like the Talmud says that Hashem's going to make a dance for the tzaddikim in the future. They'll all dance around and say, Zeke, Ze Hashem kivinu lo. So the pshat, the external meaning, doesn't sound like it's what the midrash means. The internal meaning is more important. And then the third are the things that are to be taken literally, but you have to define the terms. Like our sages said, arouse your Yetzer Tov against your Yetzer Hara. What's the Yetzer Tov? What's the Yetzer Hara? What does it mean to get one angry at the other? So there the Rabbi Avraham Anagid said, it's literal, you just have to understand what the terms are. Now we're going up to the fourth section of Midrash, the fourth type of Midrashim. Chelek HaRaviyish Omer Oto B'Feirush Psukim. That's where our sages will sometimes interpret a verse, al derech machmadei ashir, the way you would maybe take a song and break it up. When Chazal tell us a medrash, they take a pasuk, and then they give you an explanation in it. They don't mean that that's what the pasuk meant to say. Sometimes the midrashim give you a concept, and then they show it to you in a pasuk, but they didn't mean, hey, that's what the pasuk says. Chalila v'chaz. He says, God forbid to say that they say you could take a pasuk and twist it and turn it in so many ways and say that's what the pasuk means. We have the laws of derivation. There, that's what the pasuk teaches us. And then you have times where it's a medrash, where a sage just said, let me tell you an idea and let me show you a pasuk that's similar to it. Humashem, huzal, mikra lechu. That's what our sages said. Learning Tanakh is separate than learning medrash. He says, for example, this is what the Talmud says, Amar Rav Yochanan, the Talmud says in Tractate Tanis, Rav Yochanan taught, Asel Ta'asel. Torah says, tithe, you shall tithe. So the pasuk says something very clear. Asel Ta'asel. Tithe, you shall tithe. What do our sages say? Asel, give your tithe, Bishvil Shetit Asher, so that you become wealthy. Is that what the pasuk said? No one thinks that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, tithe, you shall tithe. And our sages said, asel bishvil shetit asher, tithe, and this will cause you to get wealthy. Ukasher mu'usham b'feirush. And when our sages over there quote a different verse in Nevi, where the pasuk says, v'arikoti lachem beracha ad belidai, I will give you blessing without limit. Ad shevlusi totechem ilom adai. So our sages say, what does it mean, belidai, without limit? That your lips won't stop saying enough, enough, you'll get so much. Is that what the pasuk means? It says, bli dai, without limit. No, no, our sages say, instead of reading the word bli, read it as yivlu. Yivlu means to wear out. Your lips will wear out from saying enough, enough, you got so much. So you have many examples like this, says Rabbi Avram, where the Talmud gives you a medrash, and the Talmud knows that's not the pshat in the pasuk. The concept is true, and the Talmud tells you there. Here, you can see it in the pasuk. Don't entertain the thought don't think that when Chazal tell you these midrashim, they're on the same level as their tradition on how to derive things from psukim. It's not the same thing. When you have derivations, and they are the laws, and they are the bread and butter of our life and of our Talmud, there it's tradition, and there it's specific laws and systems that they use to derive the concepts. When you have midrashim that tell you concepts, and then they quote a pasuk, and they tell you, okay, read it this way, they don't mean that they have a tradition, you should read it that way. That's not what they're saying. Ena davar ken. It's not so to say that this is the same as their tradition in Torah. Achda ki perush la psukim sheinam tluyim beikar mikarei hadat velo bedin medinei Torah sheinam kabbalah biyadam. You should know that when they give you interpretations of verses that are not fundamental to our faith, that are not legal, that do not have halachic relevance, they don't have tradition on that. Aval yesh mehem lefi achat hadat. So here, the sages said, here, I could tell you this idea, and I'll show it to you in a pasuk. They didn't mean to say, I have a tradition, this is the derivation, and so accept what I've said. That's not what they're saying. So Rambam is saying we have to discern. When are our sages telling us a derivation, a law, a fundamental concept in Jewish faith? When are our sages telling us a medrash? They're telling us a concept. It might be an ethical concept, an important concept. They're not telling you the verse is the source. They're very often telling you, I'll show you it in a nice way. You could see it in the verse, but they don't mean to say it's derived from that verse.
Some
things are nice. You could say, wow, that's a nice way, like a song, the way a song expresses ideas. So you could say, okay, sometimes in a song, you play games with the words of the song. So you could say that's what the Torah is saying.
Sometimes
our sages give you an idea and they say, here, look at the words, you can see it in these words.
Often
you could see that the Talmud will teach you things the way you would in a song.
I'll
give you an example. The beginning of Parshas Yisro, it says, Vayishma Yitro. Yitro heard, and he came and joined the Jewish people. So the Medrash asks, what did he hear? Rabbi Yeshua says, he heard the war of Amalek, which is recorded a few psukim earlier in the Torah. He says, I don't doubt, says Rabbi Avraham Anagid, I don't doubt that Rabbi Yeshua did not have tradition on that interpretation. When Rabbi Yeshua gave that interpretation, he analyzed the verses and thought what it probably means, and that's what he said. Don't equate this with other parts of Talmud. When rabbis in Medrash give you interpretations of the verses, says Rabbi Avraham Anagid, it's their thought. They're thinking, they're smarter than us, they have a better picture than us, but it's not tradition. You see that when Rabbi Yeshua tells his idea, he says, Yisro must have heard the war with Amalek, and then he says, you see, it's written right next to it. If it were tradition, he wouldn't have had to prove it. He would have just said, this is what it is. He doesn't say that. He says, look at the verses. Here it's logical. Here it's logical means, this is what I think is logical. So Rabbi Yeshua is a great person. We value his logic, but it's not tradition. It's not Rabbi Yeshua's interpretation in the verse that he gets from Moshe from Sinai. He's telling you a nice pshat in the pasuk. It says, Yisro heard and joined the Jewish people. What did he hear? I think he must have heard what it said a few psukim earlier, the war with Amalek. Says Rambam, that's not the same as the derivations in Talmud, says Rabbi Avram. V'odraya acheret, he says, I'll bring you another proof. Sharen uroim chachamim acherim zulat Rabbi Yeshua befirush, sovrim dat acheret. You see, very clearly in the Medrash, some of the rabbis argue with Rabbi Yeshua. Some say he heard the receiving of the Torah. Some say he heard the splitting of the sea. It's not clear to Chazal what he heard. Different opinions, using their logic, came up with different reasons. This is not a tradition, says Rabbi Avram. This is the rabbis applying their logic, looking at the verses and trying to figure out what's going on here. If it were really tradition, there wouldn't be arguments. Everyone would know what happened. They don't know. The verse says Yisro heard. The verse doesn't tell us what he heard. The rabbi sat down, looked at the psukim, looked at the psukim earlier, looked at the psukim later, came up with different conclusions, what they think he heard. Rabbi Elazar says, I think he heard that the Jews received the Torah. He brings another source why he thinks so. Rabbi Elazar says, I think he heard the splitting of the sea. He also brings a verse that indicates that way. And therefore says, Rabbi Avram, I don't doubt. Ki divrei haomer beferush daber bnei Yisrael veisau hesia otan meliban ki ze al derech Talmud Abina b'machmadei Ashir. There's also a medrash that says, tell the Jewish people veisau, they should travel. So the medrash says, they should travel means they should grow, they should outgrow where their hearts are right now. Says Rabbi Avram, I don't think it means that that's his tradition. it's a nice way to analyze the text, the way you would say there's a nice message in a song. When the rabbis say certain things in Medrash, it's not the same thing as a derivation in Talmud. Ve'lo al perusha dat. The rabbis are not telling you this is what Jewish religion believes. They're telling you, here's a nice thought about how to interpret the pasuk. You cannot put all the derivations on the same scale and say, the rabbi said it, so it's all true. This goes back to what Rabbi Avram said in the beginning of the letter. He said the rabbis were brilliant and honest and had a tremendous tradition when it came to explaining the laws of Torah, the system of Torah, the ethics of Torah. When it comes to other areas, initially he spoke about science. Now he's speaking about interpreting what different midrashim in the verse are going to mean. So the rabbis once said, I think, when it says Yisro heard, I think it says it means A. The other one says, I think it means B. And the third one says, I think it means C. No one knew. They all tried to find what it means. Now, it could be all of them happened. I don't know. He says, sometimes you'll find the rabbi saying it, and it doesn't stem from a verse. The Talmud in Rosh Hashanah says, an idea. The Talmud says, when you read in the Torah about Canaan and Sichon and Arad, it's the same kingdom. The Talmud says, who Canaan, who Sichon, who Arad. It's the same kingdom, Canaan, Sichon, and Arad. Sichon, the Gemara says, why was he called Sichon? He's like a young donkey in the desert. Siach is a baby donkey. Canaan, he's called, because that's the name of the area he ruled over, Hashem al-Chuto. What's the king's name? His name was Arad. He says, I would think that most of the midrashim you see are these types of midrashim, where the rabbis want to tell you an idea, but it's not an idea that's the same as the laws and the tradition we have in the meat and potatoes of Judaism. These are midrashim. This is a nice thought of who he was. It doesn't necessarily mean they had a tradition on this. He says, what I'm telling you is the truth. The only one who would argue with me is someone who's not so smart. He says, this part of what Chazal say is divided into many components. Just as when you have people composing songs, they also have different approaches and they'll tell you different things in their songs. He says, by the same token, different rabbis had different approaches. They had different wisdoms, and that's why they're going to give you different messages from the verses, and they're all good messages, but to say that the verse had to mean A, or B, or C, you don't know? They didn't either know. They were smart, they were honest, they were kind, they were people who had trained themselves to think like Torah. We value their opinion, we value it more than our opinion, but it's not the same weight as the meat and potatoes of Talmud, which is our tradition, which is how to derive psukim as to how we lead our lives. And when the Torah says, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk, so the rabbis say you cannot eat meat with milk, that they had on tradition from Moshe from Sinai, that derivation. There you can't start saying, well, I think this and I think that, and how did he know this and where did he get that from? Ask and you'll learn enough. You'll see they had sources that were ironclad. Here, says the Rambam, this whole section where Chazal give us ideas and they give us thoughts on the psukim. So Rabbi Avram ben Rambam says, this is what they said, and it's we're not saying it's not legitimate, we're just saying it's their opinion. It starts with the rabbi who said it. And this is a very big chidush, what we just read. Many people, if you quote it to them without telling you where you heard it, they'll get very upset at you for saying this. So you have to show it to them inside. This is what Rabbi Avram says. And this also answers questions we should have. The Ibn Ezra sometimes gives an interpretation in a story that's very different than Chazal, as does the Rashbam. You have the story of the Akedah. So our sages tell us Yitzchak was 37 years old at the Akedah. It's a different story if he's 37 years old. The Rashbam doesn't explain it that way. The boy is going with his dad, and he's a little boy. Yeah, the boy. And he says, Dad, where's the goat? He says, God will see to it that we have the sheep. Rashbam gives us a story that you shouldn't tell your children. Right? They're going to have a very hard time sleeping at night when they hear about a father like that. But Rashbam gives us a different story, as does the Radak. We have numerous places where Rashbam, Radak, Ibn Ezra give us a different story, a different interpretation in the stories in Tanakh than our sages do. And now that we read this piece in Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, so we have a different angle as to understanding them. Because Chazal interpreted, and we say they were very smart, and we respect their opinion, but it's not a tradition from Moshe from Sinai. It's a statement of someone who was very, 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 very smart and pious. So we give it that weight. But it's not as obligatory as the areas where they define Torah. If I would wake up one morning and say, you can eat meat with milk, it only says don't cook a goat with milk. So then you shouldn't drink wine. Anyone who says that, you shouldn't drink wine that they touch. That's an apikores. That's someone who's not accepting the tradition of our sages. But Rabbi Avram ben Arambam is telling us that when it comes to interpreting the verses of the Torah, this was not a tradition from Moshe from Sinai. We respect it, we give it credence, we learn it, we value it, it's Torah, but it's still not the weight of Torah from Sinai. It's a different world. So that's the big bombshell we just saw in Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. Yes?
I follow it. I think your point is wonderful. The only thing I got a little lost in, Midrash is not halacha, different opinions, and they all have weight, but you're not going against the Lord of the Judaism, if you hold like this, like that. When it comes to the laws of derivation, we also get different opinions, but we are obligated to hold by it. In other words, we the follows Shammai and the Sukkah. It has to be 7x7. Fucking, it can't be. But that's the only. But they also can have different opinions, and they even could be right. But we follow the ones that Sukkah says. Right?
That's true. Meaning you're bothered by a specific line that he said here.
I'm not bothered. I'm trying to get clear on it. You know, I accept the fact that, you know, we go and we put it through the Aruch, even if people have said, you know, in different times, Messianic times, we might go differently, whatever. But you can use the laws of derivation and not have the same opinion.
Right. Meaning his line that you see that other rabbis disagreed with Rabbi Yoshua as a proof that he didn't have it on tradition is what's bothering you. That needs work. I agree with you. But that line, meaning, what would he say about all of the oral law? Meaning he means something here. He knew full well that there are arguments in the oral law that is obligatory. So I'm guessing. I think that he might mean, like the Rambam writes, that there aren't arguments about things like interpreting the text halachically. I'll explain. Rambam says, when the Talmud asks, how do you know that you're supposed to shake an esrog on Sukkot? So the Rambam writes in his introduction to the commentary on Mishnah, he says, don't think that the Talmud was asking, maybe you should shake an apple, maybe you should shake a lemon. What the Talmud was asking is, everyone agreed that when the Torah says pri eitz hadar, it means a netrog, what we call a citron. Their question was, where in the text do I have proof for that? So they were searching, so they came up with different answers. But they weren't discussing what does the verse mean. Rambam says they all knew what the verse means. The Torah says an eye for an eye. And the rabbis say, well, our tradition is that you don't take an eye for an eye. You pay money. The verse says it, and our tradition says that don't take it literally. There was no argument about that. No rabbi walked in and said, I'm sorry, the verse says it. No one said that. So we get the impression from Rambam that when it comes to knowing what the mitzvos are, our general approach is there wasn't an argument. The arguments lie in the derivations. The arguments lie in how do I know it's an etrog? If the Torah tells me basukot teshvu shivat yamim, everyone agrees what a sukkah is supposed to look like. How long I'm supposed to sit there? Now when you're going to start discussing with me something which is not in the pasuk, what the minimum size of a sukkah is, there you'll have a Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and from the texts, they'll try to bring proofs to their opinions. Ramban writes in his commentary on the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos that much of what the Gemara is doing is trying to work its way back. He says, in the Mishnah, you rarely find discussions of psukim. What the Gemara is doing in analyzing the psukim is trying to work backwards. Now that I know that this Tana holds this way and that Tana holds that way, where in the psukim do I find the source for each one's opinions? But this goes back to, again, I think what he's referencing here is that our what we see in general, I don't know if he'll say it's 100%, but what we see in general is that in the interpretation of the text, where the issue is halachic, there the rabbis have a tradition. And there we know what an etrog is, we know what matzah is. You don't find arguments about that. We know what the morning after Shabbat, where you start counting Sfirat HaOmer is. I'm saying, in interpreting the text, you don't have machlokot. In details that stem from derivations, there you could start discussing, wait, should I derive this way or that way? What I'm saying is a guess. I also don't know what he means in that line. You have to remember that what we're reading is a translation. He wrote it in Arabic. So it's a little hard to know exactly what he's saying in everything here. But I agree that that line deserves work. The fifth type of medrash. Doshu dibru behem lashon havai. Sometimes the rabbis spoke in exaggeration. You find it in the Talmud and Tractate Psachim. Amar Mazutra Me'etzel Adetzel Avetan Arba Me'a Gamle. He was so wealthy, he had 400 camels loaded. It says, the pasuk says Atzel or Etzel had six sons, and then it says all of these were the sons of Etzel. So the Talmud says, for all these kids, he had 400 camels worth of wealth. And some of the commentaries try to give different sources from where he got this from. So he says, but you have to know that sometimes the Medrash takes on a style that's a style of exaggeration. You look at that pasuk, where do you see 400 camels? He says, you look in the pasuk, you don't see 400 camels. The rabbis were coming to tell you a concept, how blessed he was, how wealthy he was. They didn't mean we counted his camels, we have a tradition exactly how many camels he has, there were 400 camels. And this is important because you find certain numbers showing up in Chazal often, like we would say a million, so they sometimes said 400. When one of the rabbis embarrassed a Roman woman, it says he had to pay her 400 gold coins. 400 gold coins? I don't know if it was 400 gold coins. It was a big sum of money. That was the idea. So he says, when you read Midrashim, you have to know that sometimes the Midrash takes on a style that's an exaggerated form. He says, these aren't the most common Midrashim. These are the exception. You find them every so often. They're not the common Midrashim. Usually, when you see exaggerations, they're in the stories. And the stories, Chazal tell you, there they'll sometimes try to... Chazal will tell you stories where the whole story is fantastic. We were riding on a ship, and then we docked on an island, and we sat down, and we started making ourselves a camp. And as we were preparing lunch, the island started moving, and we looked around, there was this huge fish, and then the fish started moving. So you read this Medrash, you understand, in the stories, Chazal tell you, this bird was flying, and it laid an egg, and when the egg dropped, so 60 cities were destroyed. Was there really such a bird, Bar Yuchne, that lays such eggs? Rambam-san says, in the Midrashim, it's rare that the Midrash will exaggerate. In stories, you do find exaggerations. And now he says, when we speak about stories, there are four components to stories. Rambam's not going to tell us about stories in Chazal. Meaning until now we were talking about Midrashim, now he's going over to stories. He says, some stories happened. You find them in the text, in the Tanakh, and Chazal told you this part of the story to teach you a lesson. And sometimes the lesson is halachic, and sometimes the lesson is philosophic, and sometimes the lesson is religious, and sometimes the lesson is ethical. So Chazal tell you a story, they're teaching you something. But some of the stories are stories that actually happened. Sometimes the story is extraordinary, and if it's relevant to what you just read, so they tell you, hey, by the way, you just learned about Rachav. We just told you that Rachav was the most beautiful woman of ill repute. You should just know the end of Rachav was she was married to Yeshua bin Nun. Look at what a tzedekah she became. So you learn a lot from that. You learn how high a convert can go. You learn how a person has a future, even if they have a terrible past. You learn a lot from that story. So Chazal tell you a story. Is it for halakhic relevance? Not necessarily. Maybe it's for a point in our perspective on life. But now Rambam's going to tell us the four approaches we have to stories. Why Chazal, the four components of stories in Chazal. And I assume you guys want us to continue here next time, yes?
Yes.
Okay.